for me, there was one, I think, profound difference between the experience of writing the two books. And the difference is that with the second book, I knew I had it in me to write a novel. I knew that I would write the novel and that I would complete it. With the first book, it's much more like navigating out at the open sea, and you don't know when or if. With the second book, I had a much deeper confidence that I knew how to force the thing into existence with patience and persistence.
When the book starts, the main character, Reno, is arriving in New York in her early 20s, and she has an idea of whom she thinks she is going to become, why she is going to New York in the first place. And then her life kind of spirals into a different direction. It doesn't spiral out of control, but it is far removed from what she originally sought to be. And I think that's something that a lot of 20-somethings end up doing, is they have a original idea of what their life is going to become at the beginning of their 20s, and then they look back. Things end up going in a completely different direction as to what they originally thought they were going to be.
I think that sometimes being young is being open to experience. And experience is much different than having, like, a more rigid set of goals and plans. And she doesn't know exactly what she wants to find in New York City. And if she did know, there would almost be no reason to go, because she's going in order to have her world opened up. The world is more sophisticated than you are. And chance, you know, may have more in store for you than predicted from your small outlook.
With that being said, I know that your route to becoming a novelist was a little bit circuitous. You didn't, you decided to go to graduate school to receive your MFA at 26, and then it was still a while after that before you ended up publishing your first novel.
Yeah, well, I had to work a job. when you're writing novels, no one's giving you a salary. You have to write your first book to get an advance, and so I worked as an editor in New York City. By the time I quit my job at BOM in 2003, I worked full-time writing Telex from Cuba, and then the novel was published 5 years later. So for me, it was just simply a matter of pragmatics. I worked full-time because I needed to support myself.
Do you feel that when you had that, like, knowing that, okay, I've got to support myself in order to make this happen, do you feel that that helped you to separate yourself from your day job in order to fully devote yourself to your book when you had that extra time, because you knew that that time was all you had before the next day?
Yes, although I had a kind of day job that it isn't really easy to separate from, because I had a ton of responsibility. And I didn't really start focusing on my novel until after I quit my job. When I had my job, I did get up at 5 in the morning and write every day. But I was also writing about art because I got the opportunity to do that. And it seemed like something that was worth taking, because I learned so much doing it. So I was writing for Art Forum magazine on the weekends and working my job during the week and trying to work on fiction, you know, between 5 and 8 a.m. in the morning, went to my job. But it was great having all day to work once I left the job behind, and I hope to have one again.
Wait, you said you do or don't have one again?
I said I hope never to have one again.
I read in my research that you feel that you don't have time for hobbies, but where do you go for inspiration?
Life is inspiration. I mean, listening to what people say, being rich in friendship, which I think I am. I have people around me who are always reading incredible things and turning me on to amazing things, and reading novels and watching movies, and also just having a quiet thought in reaction to an experience or an exchange with someone. That's, I think, about as much inspiration as I need. And the reason I said I don't like having hobbies is that I just don't have time for that, because the novel is, it requires everything you have. And I love that about it. It requires a kind of total dedication. And the dedication to me has a very clean logic. There's always the question is how to live, what to do with your time, how to navigate choices. When I'm working on my novel, I never doubt that I'm doing the right thing.
I know that in 2013, you received an honorary doctorate from Kalamazoo College. Do you make people use that now?
Call me doctor.
Yeah, like I earned it. That's who I am.
I only use the call me doctor joke at home with my husband because he has a PhD in comparative literature, you know, which took him 11 years to get. But I got mine in an afternoon, and so I like to sort of chide him by pointing that out. I just read some stuff about Nina Simone, and she had an honorary doctorate, although I can't remember what school it was from. And she insisted that people address her as Dr. Simone after she got the doctorate. And I find that kind of touching, but it's not really like my own personality to make anybody call me by the honorary title.
What is next for you?
Well, I'm trying to write another novel, and it's a contemporary novel, and I'm excited about it because it's kind of the first time I've really weighed in on the contemporary, and it turns out I have some things to say. This is going to be my third visit to Kalamazoo. Maybe there's something about that. Me and Kalamazoo have some kind of shared destiny.
The two of you have some sort of connection in a way that you have yet to interpret.
Thank you. Very well put.